Welcome to Accounting High.
I think on the note of how tech adoption happens, because it's so competitive here, this speaks directly to if you want an accountant on your side, if you want to earn their trust, if you want them to buy your product, use it in some way, recommend it, you have to earn that trust. And you don't do it by constantly beating them over the head with how great you are. And I love Xero. I love a lot of the people at Xero, but they came into this market swinging. They were like, we're beautiful accounting and you're using Intuit and it's crap and you shouldn't be using them. And as much as maybe some accountants at the time were feeling that way, they didn't want them calling them out like that. They're like, hey, you don't know us. You don't really know them. You can't come in here. We don't know who you are. Eventually,
the whole firm is using Xero.
May I have your attention, please?
OKR is in the house. OKR is in the house.
Accounting House.
From cloud accountancy way back to desktop accounting advisory and tech apps adopt, went solo with the rap. Scotty's still the same. Raleigh is the spot where I edutain. Like, share, connect, comment, follow this. And subscribe to our podcast. Next one we drop, because you know it don't stop. It's 24/7 on the Accounting High lot. TikTok clips don't watch, just some shitty tax talk. Cleaning up accounting with a bucket and a mop. Then we lean back and nod, because the class is about to start at Accounting High. Scotty, OKR.
Accounting High. Accounting High.
Oh, cow, cow, Accounting High, OKR.
Introducing the star of our show,
Scotty and Seth.
We're gonna have a problem here.
Class is in session. Thank you for joining me today, Seth.
Thank you for having me. This has been, I would say, for the better part of this year, Scott. No joke. I'm just gonna throw out all the cards on the table. This is, and no disrespect to all the podcasts I've done this year, this is the one that I've been really, really looking forward to doing all year. So thank you for having me, my friend.
Well, we made it before the end of the year.
We did. Got to cram.
Yeah. Got to cram. Got to fit some more in. I got to record some more episodes. And Seth, you, my friend, were kicked off this journey of Accounting High. If it wasn't for your event in San Diego back in 2021, well, no, maybe it was 2022. Was it 2021?
22. We started building it in 21. It took close to a year to get that to reality. So yeah, that was May 2022.
So for our students, for those listening who don't know the backstory, I was Sons of CPAs going into this Accounting Web Summit from 2022. Going into it, I had a panel there, and I was looking to rebrand, change the name, and on the vendor hall one day, it just occurred to me that Accounting High seemed to be the natural next step of this evolution. Sons of CPAs, we're in middle school, and we moved up, we're in high school, and now it's sophomore year, and you're here, you've arrived. Round of applause for Seth Feinberg. Seth, you're no longer at Accounting Web. Accounting Web isn't really a thing in the U.S. anymore, but we've gotten to know each other a little bit over that time frame since post AWS days or post AW days, Accounting Web days. Mm-hmm. Seth's got his own thing going on, and we're going to learn about that today. Today's our tech day, though. We're going to talk about tech. Today's Tuesday. We're going to talk about tech and AI and accounting. Seth has been involved in the accounting technology space for a while, or business technology space for a while, but I would like for you to introduce yourself to our guests and kind of tell us how you got into accounting in particular, and we'll talk about the tech too, but just kind of get us started there.
So you know better than anybody, Scotty, that accounting sometimes just finds you, and our paths are all going to be varied in their ways, but we all, a lot of the good people in our life found it. So I myself, I came from I guess, a business journalism background. I share that knowledge. I share that that expertise, I guess, in my career for over 30 years now. I've been considered a business journalist and editor, you know, never the independent that I am now. But I found my way to accounting through a title that a lot of us know and love, through Accounting Today. I was hired about 22 years ago as an associate editor there. It was just really a job to me. It was another, you know, business to business is what I knew. I knew business tech. I knew how businesses functioned. I wanted to know more. And
well, tell me this. You're applying for jobs. This was 30 years ago.
This is,
applying for jobs. What did you see in Accounting Today that you made you even want to apply?
Just a new challenge. It was, accounting was something I just didn't know about. And I knew as a trade journalist, as a business journalist, that once you immerse yourself in a field, you get to know your sources, they get to know you, and you'll just becomes all encompassing. You really become sort of a quasi expert. And I enjoyed, you know, being able to report on these things. I enjoyed being able to talk to.
But what did you know about accounting at that point?
Nothing.
Nothing. So why was it accounting? You knew you were going to get involved in some kind of watering hole, and this was a big one. But why accounting?
I honestly had no clue that I would meet some lifelong friends, genuine lifelong friends, and some of the most amazing human beings I've ever met. All I knew about accounting was that it was necessary to a business's life function. In order to be a business, you have to understand basic accounting or listen to your accountant, because they know better than you. They're like your doctor. They have your health, your survival in mind.
Your business doctor.
Exactly. And that's what I learned over time. But I did know that it was an important component of, because I would read financial reports. I learned to read a financial report at a very young age. In my career, you know, I was reading these K-1 reports and these quarterly reports, all these financial reports. Guess who helped put them together? Probably some CFO or some CPA inside of public company that had to, by law, you know, put these together. And so I learned to read them and get comfortable with what the statements were and what each column meant. I learned EBITDA very, very early. So I knew that.
We say EBITDA in our circles in the South here. Yeah. Maybe EBITDA. Up north, they say EBITDA.
It's EBITDA up in New York way. So that much I knew, but I had no idea that I would really be getting to know firms and individual CPAs and bookkeepers and enrolled agents, like this whole other world of human beings, and also the tech companies too that feed into them, because I became the tech editor. Relevant to our discussion today, I was the tech editor of Accounting Today twice. I left and came back. Couldn't keep me away. I left for another opportunity thinking, you know, okay, well, you know, maybe this will be better. And it certainly was not. And the door opened, you know, once again for me to come back to Accounting Today. And I went back and, you know, ended up, you know, leaving again, still freelancing for them and still contributing. And then while looking for another opportunity, it found me. And that's when I became the editor of Accounting Web. The publisher found me on LinkedIn and was like, hey, I don't know what you're doing these days.
This
was 2015.
Okay.
Sorry, 2014, we had conversations. It took us several months to kind of work things out. So late 2014, I get a message on my LinkedIn saying, hey, I don't know if you know anybody who might be interested, or maybe you're interested, but let's talk. And we started talking through some of the early part of 2015. I was literally hired my very first day on the job, and this was fate. This was kismet. April 15th. 2015 was my first day.
It wasn't planned like that.
No,
we're going to start you. We're going to deal with accountants, so maybe after tax season. This is what we all say.
It was Monday. You start a lot of jobs, you start on a Monday. It happened to be a Monday.
You know, it's so crazy too. 4/15 on 4/15, April 2015 too. So it wasn't just 4/15. It was a double 4/15. You nailed it.
I did. And so
back then, well, no, I'm just pointing out the year time frame. That's the cloud bubble, isn't it?
Pretty much.
That's when QuickBooks really started taking the cloud seriously. Zero was full force in the U.S.
They said
Accounting Web is a publication overseas. Is that right? And did they already have a U.S. presence when they came to you?
We did. They just didn't have an editor. And I can say this now because we're long gone. They were struggling as a business. They didn't know if they were going to make it another couple of years. They had to right the ship. They had to figure out a new way of doing business because everyone knew accounting today. Everyone knew CPA Practice Advisor. Everyone knew, Insightful Accountant. What they didn't know was Accounting Web. They're like, oh yeah, like they knew the name. Sure. Oh yeah, I would get this all the time. Oh yeah, I think I get your newsletter. I think I get your emails. That's not a brand statement you can hang your hat on. You're doing great, kid. You're doing a good job. But it had been around since the 90s, and not a lot of people really knew what it stood for. So I had the task of saying, this is what Accounting Web is.
What did it stand for? Yeah.
It was just kind
of web an acronym, or was it just web as in the web, the internet?
Just, hey, we're accounting on the web. We're covering it. It was just so nebulous, dude. But it was a brand that did carry over from the UK. And in the UK, they're the top accounting site. You don't read about anything in accounting in the UK without going to Accounting Web. It's the de facto. Over in the US, it was an afterthought in no uncertain terms. And I needed to change that.
Speaking on tech, Zero is kind of an afterthought in the US, but it's the number one overseas, right? So maybe there's just a difference in our culture in the US. Maybe there's a difference in the way we consume media or the way we consume products and tech. So maybe that's sort of the angle too of this conversation is, what is it about the US and tech in the US that, I mean, all the tech developers that I talk to coming from outside the US are anxious about the US market, and they really want to penetrate this market because compared to Australia, that's the size of Texas, and we've got multiple Australias just in our one market. So it is difficult for a lot of tech vendors coming from outside, and even apparently editorial, publications to make it into the US. So tell me some of the struggles that you dealt with early on with accountants. You had already been working with accountants in the US at this point, and now you're taking on a struggling ship. here's Seth, the commander of the ship here.
Yeah.
Let's right this ship. And they gave you a certain number of years to do that. Let's hear what happened.
So what happened was, I'm hearing a couple of questions in there. So one, is just about the tech space here in the U.S. and why it's so difficult. The flip answer is like, well, there's the internet was born here, and there's so much tech that was birthed here in this country. And so, by nature, a lot of the business tech that we use and see today, it's a just extremely competitive space. That's the basic dynamic of it. There's just, I was around during, the dot-com era and saw its collapse and re-rise. I got to interview Jeff Bezos when he was for one of the many publications I worked for, when Amazon just got their last round of venture money, well before they went public, and they were still just selling books. I don't want to say just books. I read a lot.
Well, they weren't making any money around then too.
It took them years to make money, even after going public. No, they were. But
it
they
really
were just,
wasn't until, ironically, AWS that they started raking it in, and that's what I compared your thing to AWS. Yeah. I was like, oh wow, so, Amazon's throwing a summit. But well, I digress.
So for accountants to get the hearts, to win the hearts and minds of accountants. And by the way, we have one of the largest markets really for accounting professionals. So by our numbers, and you know, the UK folks really loved knowing stats and numbers. By our numbers, there were in North America about 1.3 million professionals who went to work every day as an accountant, meaning enrolled agents, professional bookkeepers, and CPAs. All told, went to work at a firm, and this is you. Over in the UK, it's a fraction of that. And there are also more mid to larger firms over there too, by the way. Sure, there's plenty of small practices, but by and large, the dynamic is different. So they,
What were those numbers again? What were the numbers?
So we were looking at around 1.3, 1.4 million professionals going to work every day as an accounting professional. Like you called yourself an accounting professional, sure. Meaning you didn't work in business and industry. You worked at a firm, whether you owned that practice or worked in it. You are going to work as an accountant for an LLC or a, whatever. You know what I mean? Not for somebody else's business.
Over a million.
Over a million. I'm saying about 1.3, 1.4 million. This is CPAs, professional bookkeepers, and enrolled agents, all told. So in order to win their hearts and minds, they consumed information from all of these titles. But we had to stand for something. So when I came on board, my take was that the profession is covered. You can go to any of these reputable sources and find out what's going on in the profession, what they weren't telling you. And it's no disrespect to them, but this was just at the time that I came on. What they weren't doing a lot of is giving you practical, useful advice, information, news, that you could use. How do I do X? What's going on with Y? What's coming up behind door number Z? You feel me? So this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to build a platform for thought leadership to happen. And this is why we attracted a lot of the personalities that we did, because we felt we wanted to give accountants a voice. We didn't want to be the voice. We wanted to kind of sit back and just be like, here's your space, here's your place. And when we eventually put on Accounting Web Live, that was our goal to do, was put everything we had been doing onto the map. So all of a sudden, we had, you got to make money in this space. So how do you do it? Well, we weren't going to charge anybody for our stuff. We just thought that was kind of silly, even though some folks do and do it very well. We just didn't think that was really our game. To start,
give it all away.
Charge, give it away. Sponsorship across the board
from tech companies.
From anyone who wants to have a conversation, a real conversation, a real connection with the accounting profession, come here, and we will also talk to you about how to do that. We're not going to prepackage, too much. I mean, we had a few ideas that we would sell, like we would come up with behind the scenes and go, "Hey, what about this? We have this great series on this." Like, we came up with our most successful series was called The Realities of the Automated Practice. And we did that twice. It had a sequel. And both of them sold out, meaning like we got enough sponsorship with them. And it came in the form of a downloadable guide. We had a few webinar series and a bunch of articles, all content, all successful, all engaging. And it really, really put us on the map for saying, okay, I get who these guys are. I get what they're trying to do. Accounting Web is different. Accounting Web is where I go when I really want to know how to do something and why. Because I'm seeing case studies. I'm downloading guides. I sat through a webinar. I read these articles that really spoke to me, because a lot of them were written by other practitioners, other people, other whatever thought leaders, whatever you want to call them in the market. And a lot of them weren't really talking from way up here, Scott. They were coming at you eye to eye. And that's something
These were a lot of influencers that were hired by the apps to do the speaking. Is that right?
Not necessarily. Some of them we just found ourselves, like people that I met personally at conferences, at just seeing on social media, reaching out, having conversations with them, just as we are, and just really getting to know like what they're passionate about. That's exactly how I met Matt and Kenji. I didn't know those guys. I just kept hearing about this firm Acuity. I'm like, why are they so important? What are they doing? And they had a voice, and plenty of others, from Shrell to Nio to Clayton Oates. Clayton, someone actually I've known for quite some time, but he had kind of gone off the radar, and he's not even from this country. But the man.
So let's get back to that pamphlet. The pamphlet, the two part yes. thing, because yes. that's automation.
The realities of the automated practice.
Okay.
Was. So our idea, so it was something that was written, I think we had the first one written by Randy Johnston, who I've known and trusted for years.
We've had him on the show. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So we explained to him, what we wanted out of it. And it was really kind of a playbook of saying, hey, look, you all want to automate something. How should you be going about this? And we had several companies who wanted to associate their brand with this
content.
Well,
this was your revenue stream. This was the way you were making money. You weren't charging for this, so you had to make money somehow.
This was how we made money, by sponsorship, by association. We had an entire section. We had a section just called sales tax. We had an entire year that was sponsored by Avalara, but Avalara didn't say anything about themselves in it. There was like a small... Well,
they're leading with value.
There was a small little blip that just explained who Avalara is and a link if you wanted to know more. But any sales tax content that we got, meaning anyone who wrote about sales tax in a practical, useful way, who got an article on Accounting Web, they also saw the Avalara brand. They just saw it. It was association. So that's what I mean by association. So a lot of these brands...
I see it whenever I drive down downtown Durham. Avalara's all over the place.
And that's really where
they're in North Carolina. I'm making a joke.
Yeah. No, I know. That's where they're ultimately going to be moving to, as far as I know. But aside from that, and then, of course, some wanted to do straight up lead gen campaigns, and we're like, okay, great. Let's create a guide for you. Let's work this out. And when people go to the landing page, they'll fill out information and what have you. And mostly it's in the approach. Accountants will listen to you and pay attention to whatever you have to, quote unquote, sell them. If you're not selling them, especially out of the gate, let them make up their own minds. If you're giving them something of value, they're going to take the time to get to know you. You just can't go right for the, hey, I saw you were on this webinar. Let's go right to seeing this demo.
Not going to work like that.
Accountants, it's not for the most part. No. Accountants are busy. They're busy saving.
You don't want to get sold to.
No, you don't want to get sold to. Exactly. And so we always walked or tried to walk that really fine line. And whenever we would get a piece of content that we sniffed out, or the editors there eventually, we sniffed out that it was too salesy or it was just coming off as too promotional, we had them dial back and say, all right, look, there's a lot of good stuff in here, but you gotta hold off on that. And that was the work that we did on a regular basis. And I think that's how accountants need to be. I know we're going to be, we're supposed to be talking more about tech here, but I think on the note of how tech adoption happens, because it's so competitive here, this speaks directly to, if you want an accountant on your side, if you want to earn their trust, if you want them to buy your product, use it in some way, recommend it, you have to earn that trust. And you don't do it by constantly beating them over the head with how great you are. Or this was, and I love Xero. I love a lot of the people at Xero, but they came into this market swinging. They were like, we're beautiful accounting and you're using Intuit and it's crap and you shouldn't be using them. And as much as maybe some accountants at the time were feeling that way, they didn't want them calling them out like that. They're like, hey, you don't know us. You don't really know them. You can't come in here. We don't know who you are.
Yeah,
eventually,
the
sure.
The whole firm is using Xero.
It's great. And like, look, they've definitely, in their time here, they've learned their lesson. It's taken them a few CEOs to figure it out here in North America. I think Ben's got the right idea at this point. They've hired some good people, like, who I think are really starting to understand accountants, which is ironic because that's how they were successful in all these other markets, was that they put accountants first. They were like, what do you need? And I love that FreshBooks is doing that now too. I love that Twyla has gotten them all to start thinking, hey, tell us what it is you need, because they weren't very much of anything. I've known FreshBooks for 20 years. They weren't doing much of anything in the accounting space. People knew who they were, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, once in a while I'll recommend them to my, you know, freelance clients or whatever. That's changing. I think they're starting to move the needle. It takes time and relationship building, Scott. This is what I'm talking about. This is how to win in the accounting space. So if you are a student of accounting, if you are growing your practice in any way, that you need tech to survive, to do what you do. And you also are in control. No one has to dictate to you what to use. Your clients might like something, it might be on something, but ultimately, if you like something, that means the world.
So let's talk about this whole advisory cast, the stuff that the publications have been responsible for pushing toward us.
Yeah.
A lot of us are going along, running our businesses, everything's going great. And then we start hearing these whispers of, you should be doing this, or you should be doing that, or look at this. This is so much more profitable, and look at this. And we see that from a lot of these publications. And it piques our interest. And then we have the squirrel syndrome. And then we start exploring, oh, wow, I could be doing this. Now, this is exactly what happened to me at my firm, listening to webinars, and they're talking about the problems. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't even know if I have that problem, but now I think I do. And it's great advertising. It's great marketing. And then I decide, okay, now we're going to get into advisory. We're going to start doing forecasting. We're going to start doing these things. And we're a tax firm. Primarily, we're doing write-up for the tax return. Mm-hmm. And then we're looking at, oh, wait, maybe we need to get into CAS. Maybe we need to start doing bill pay. Maybe we need to start adding all of these services. And I made a mess of my firm. I started adding apps. I started doing all these things that we weren't best at, that my team wasn't best at. And we started changing a lot of things because this is what was, I'm not going to say it was sold to us. It was just these ideas that were being presented to us. And it was in our best interest to change. But a lot of that, when you dig deeper and deeper and deeper, all of it came from the money that was being put into the publications, for the sponsoring, for us to change our ways to start adopting new tech.
Yep.
And while I believe in all of it, we have almost everything we can automated at our firm. There's a certain line that you have to draw, I guess, to be unbiased. Mm-hmm. And maybe that played into why Accounting Web ultimately pulled out of the US, because you know, everything that kept getting pushed to us from a lot of these that are funded by sponsors, ultimately the goal was to keep the sponsors happy. And isn't that how TV networks are and other things like that? So I'm just asking the question too. What was some of the lessons learned along the way through there? It sounds like you've learned that accountants don't want to be sold to. That's not the thing that we want to hear. Nothing really messed up my practice. I mean, I got distracted just like I normally would, but nothing was really that crazy. But a lot of them have developed a healthy distrust for the quote unquote media and what's being pushed at us. And again, I think this parallels
and the vendors themselves too.
Sure. Sure. And so a lot of people have learned, and it sounds like there's a ton of lessons to be learned. But tell me some of the big takeaways you've had, because I thought it was a very successful event, and I think it was, but it was everything else that led up to it is why Accounting Web had closed its doors in the US.
So, I mean, if we're...
Because you're the captain.
I don't want to throw anyone individually or anyone in particular under the bus, but I can tell you that our demise was not entirely by our design. We could have even been doing a bit better than we were, and we probably still would have been close. A lot of the problems and a lot of the reason why the very abrupt decision, although a difficult decision to shut us down, was that there were deeper financial problems going on in the UK that we actually weren't entirely aware of. At the end of the day, we were, sure, not maybe making the money they needed us to, but they wouldn't have needed us to make a certain amount if they weren't doing so poorly at the time. And the financial situation still hasn't really improved. I don't know if a lot of folks or a lot of listeners really understand what's going on in the UK. They've been in financial straits for quite some time now, and they're not looking to recover anytime soon. Sure, around here, we keep, you know, sniffing around, oh, inflation and, you know, recession, things like this. But our economy over here is not really going in the direction that theirs is or was definitely at the time that they had to make that decision. And so for their company and for what was going on in the UK, it was a difficult but also easier decision to cut that from their books.
And again, sounds like no fault of anybody's.
I mean, look, we could have been doing better than we were. I think we spent a good year focusing not on other sales and other things. If we maybe had like a bigger sales team or what have, there was a lot of ifs, ands, and buts. And we should have been doing both. We should have been continuing to do things to grow our digital business while at the same time building this live event. The live event was immensely successful. And, you know, obviously it could have been better, but it was all
I don't know. I was there. I thought it was great. I don't know how much better it could have been.
I also saw the books. I know that we made money on that event. And it was only just the first time around. I mean, we were already setting up to double it, to move into next year. We were immediately going to announce where it was going to be when
Announce that it was going to be at the Hard Rock.
Yeah. Well, we just the dates. We didn't have the dates yet. And also nothing was signed yet. We had an agreement. We had a verbal agreement with Hard Rock. We just hadn't signed any papers yet. Or put on
anybody. Let's then talk about... So anyway. Ultimately, was a platform that was funded by sponsors and UK pulled the plug. They didn't want to fund it anymore themselves. And so...
They couldn't.
This leaves Seth Feinberg out on his own to start a new venture.
That's right. So I had to figure out. So I remember you saw me at ZeroCon the end of that summer. We were all in New Orleans together, having a great old time. And that was my last official conference as Accounting Web, and I needed to figure out where my next move was going to be. So I did start having some companies come up to me, people that I knew and met and trusted over the years, you know, kind of asking me that, but also just saying, hey, you know, give us a call.
To work for a tech vendor?
For them, but also to do some work with them because they knew me as an independent source or resource, you know, out in the market and
freelance.
Freelance, but also so I did start doing like a couple of little projects here and there just to keep the lights on over here in my little domicile in New York.
Which is not cheap.
No, it is not. By any stretch, and by New York standards, I actually have a quote unquote good deal. But even so, life here is what it is. So I need to keep working. I need to keep doing what I'm doing. My wife does well, but we still have two kids, and we have to support them and everything. So it took me several months to kind of figure out, read the tea leaves, like what this next thing was going to be that I was going to do. I thought that I could best serve this market by being and remaining an independent and being a resource to rely on for content creation, content strategy. And that's what I'm doing. Sure, I do the public speaking and I've writing articles. I'm keeping my face out there in the world. And I also, thanks to our friend Randy, got a brand new headshot to go with it. They're all taking headshots at the last Bridging the Gap. So in addition to that, so I'm working with a couple of live events. I'm starting to work with a couple of vendors on the scene, behind the scenes, to make sure that their communications, their outbound connects best with accountants. So that's what I'm advising on. I'm doing some creation. And then I've also found organically out of nowhere, and I didn't really sort of foresee this happening. I'm actually having some accounting firms starting to talk to me. Some of the cast-minded ones, some of the ones who are growing in the space and saying, you know what, we've got to keep our communications to our clients out there going too, but we just really don't know or have the time to do it, but it's essential. So would you talk to us? Would you work with us? So these are the conversations I'm having now. It's taken a full year of my life to kind of get to the point of where people are recognizing, okay, this is what this guy's doing. So I came up with the idea of Accountants Forward. I bought the domain. It's my consulting business. That's my business, but it's really me. You're employing me to help you, whether you're a firm wanting to do outbound communications or just don't really know. Maybe you have a CEO or a partner who wants to be doing some writing. They just don't have the time. They're not great writers. I'm there. And then companies in the space who need to really be more, have better intent with their marketing. It can't be all of this go Cass or go whatever direction. You know, that's not really helping anyone per se. You have to give people more. And so that's what I'm helping to do in the best way that I can.
So in this space, we have seen and heard a lot of talk about AI, but I think in this space, I'm talking about the world, the earth in general. Everybody has heard about AI right now. And two of the biggest professions that are threatened are the two that are on this call, accountants, journalists. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, what was your take when you saw that GPT's been around? It just had its birthday, birthday.
It did.
When you started seeing the capabilities of what it could do in the written sense, how did you feel as a writer, as a journalist?
I see it. I feel like I'm unique in a way because I've been around tech for so long and I've seen so many iterations and I've heard so many of these false death knells for this tech set is going to. Can you realize that when Excel came about and was starting to get accepted, that there was the threat that it was actually going to replace accountants? Like, oh, you're not going to need accountants, just use Excel. That was an actual conversation. Same thing with cloud. When cloud applications started coming out, it was like, oh, you won't need an IT department anymore because nothing's going to be on a server. Everything's going to be in the cloud. Or you can't charge hourly anymore because everything's going to be done in minutes. So while technology historically has been a disruptor, meaning it's going to shake you from your little comfort zone, I do not for 1 minute believe that it's going to replace me or you, because neither of us are the tasks that we do. We are professionals. We have our own brains. We have our own, you know, connection to other humans that the technology does not. And I know my abilities. I trust in my abilities. And I use technology the way that it was, I think, intended to, which is as an assistant. It helps me be better me, do what I do better. And I think for accountants, same thing. Let it help you. Let it work with you to do the things that you ultimately want to do. Now, back to your issue that you had after watching all these, you know, reading all this stuff and watching all these webinars, you have to jump in with intent. You have to know what you're good at and let technology make you better. Don't let it, if it's going to replace anything, let it replace a task. So back to my point of we're not tasks. I'm not a task. You're not a task. What I do, the value of me, the value of you is not in the tasks that you do. That's my take.
I love that. It's a very important thing to keep in mind too, is that we are not the tasks. I've never heard anybody state it like that. And that's so true.
That's how I see it.
A lot of what I've been doing these days is more journalistic and creative. Mm-hmm. And I've been using that as the arm to allow me to do more. Just like when we found Xero and we realized cash coding and bank feeds would automate it, save a ton of time that we were spending coding and keying stuff in, is the same thing that I'm seeing now, writing a new verse or writing something for a rap that I'm working on or even just ideating.
It's going to help you. And I told you all about the software that David Bowie himself came up with or had designed for him, that, you know, when he would struggle with lyrics, he had something that would pretty much do word jumble. It would just sort of spit things out to him so he could put them together how he wanted to. And this was well before like AI or the AI that we know it, but he had that in his little home studio. And he would come up with the tunes and things like this. And it was amazing. So let it help you.
So what was the biggest takeaway? Let's go back to that 7-year journey of manning the ship at Accounting Web, tech focused publication, a lot of tech. And you guys talked about automations and
we did
a lot of that. What was the biggest takeaway from that whole journey that you were on?
Accountants are the lifeblood of our economy, and they need the tech that they use. They need to work in tandem with it. But at the same time, as much as they need you, meaning, you know, the services and vendors out there of those services, you know, you have to really be very considerate of where they're at. Meet them where they're at. That's one thing that we got told time and time again, was the content that we put out there, just, it felt real. It felt honest. It felt just. And even though a vendor might have been associated with a bit of content, they never once felt like they were being sold or marketed to. And I still believe in the model. You could, you know, one could say, oh, well, this didn't work for you. You're not around anymore. I disagree. I think it just took some time to take hold. But I still speak to vendors today, obviously. And I know that they are constantly struggling with what they're putting out to accountants and how do they get that connection. And accountants just need them, but they don't always have the time to just sift through a marketing pitch or sit through a demo.
So with Accountants Forward, you want to take accountants forward. You want to take them further, but you're meeting them where they are in order to take them on that journey forward.
You got to see people where they are. And that's why I think, you know, there's like CAS is a conversation that I think a lot of accountants will listen to, but you have to see where they're at first. You can't start all the
Define
way down
CAS.
Here. Client advisory services.
Ooh, wow. This is a new one. I thought it was client accounting services or cloud accounting services. Now we've got client advisory services.
When I think of CAS and what is being sold today, because client accounting services...
Is CAS being sold?
Yes, absolutely. It's being sold as this is what you must be doing.
And accountants, not by accountants, though. Are accountants telling clients, we're going to do your CAS?
No. CAS is a service that they're providing, but they're not saying it necessarily in those terms. They're just saying, okay, look.
Right. CAS is being sold to us.
Yeah. Via, you know, in as a concept, as a, hey, you should be, you said this earlier on. It was like, well, we were just being told we were doing things, that, you know, we should be doing things we weren't doing because it's the way. You know, this is the way. And for some firms, you know, it is. It's a natural evolution. You know, if you want to be having those higher value, deeper conversations and offer services beyond accounting, bookkeeping, tax work, look to CAS to do this. And so a lot of technology companies these days are saying, all right, well, I'm going to hitch my cart to that horse because we solve some of the problem. We're part of the CAS tech stack. We're part of that process. You know, you need a financial planning component. You need reports. You know, you need all this data in order to, you know, be able to advise on, you know, anything for your clients. So we're going to be part of that. You have companies like, you know, Giraffe and BachKeeper and heck, even all the way down to some of the basic bookkeeping guys like Xero and QuickBooks. They're kind of at the base of that journey. You have to understand the financials first. And then build on that, and then you advise.
Well, I think that accountants and firms can make more money by doing CAS.
Yeah.
And once they start doing that type of work, and what I see CAS is getting accrual right so you can advise.
Yes.
So get the all the clients that you're doing on, this is my firm, we're doing cash basis, basic write-up for the tax return. All that is what's been done All of it already happened. We're not forecasting into the future. We're not looking forward. And in order to look forward and take accountants forward, you have to be doing things to see the future.
Yes.
And in order to do that, you need to get payables, receivables. You need those kind of numbers to look at a forecast and their cash flow.
Yes.
I'm doing a whole new show on cash flow show. We're talking about those kind of things. And that's where it starts for a lot of tax accountants is to get into CAS, it means you have to add a lot of new apps and a lot of new systems, a lot of new processes, and a lot of new things to your firm in order to be doing the forecasting and the CFO and the fractional CFO type services.
Yes.
You've got to add in all that stuff on the back end. So CAS came in phases. They said CAS 2.0 and all this other stuff. It's just leading to allowing firms that are traditionally based in tax and compliance to be doing forward-looking work with clients.
Call
and in
order it, to do that, call it what it is. Call it what it is.
You can call it anything, and people just throw acronyms at it. And that's what CAS is an acronym.
It is.
But it's still a belief, and it's a system, and it's something that you could do, and it's showing accountants the way in the future, because when all that compliance is automated, and a lot of that is, and it's going to be, when all of that's a lot easier to do, and you're not billing by the hour for write-up work, what are you going to charge for?
See, I wish it was explained like that. Just break it down. And instead
it
of
probably
just
is explained this, like that, but a lot of people get clouded talking points. They talk about the talking points and they hit that on the top level, and they can't meet us where we're at. And where we're at is a lot of us are doing write-up for the tax return, tax preparer accountants.
Yes.
And if that's who you're speaking to, tax accountants, then we don't want to hear all this other mumbo jumbo, because we're not doing any of it.
Not doing
most
it.
Of us.
So don't tell them they should have to be doing it, because you know, you all still are providing a very, very valuable service. And sure, you know, if you're deep into tax and you love tax, hey, you know, all it starts with, and you know, and I love, you know, Jeannie Whitehouse for this. She's always been saying, as long as I've known her, she's like, it starts with a conversation, y'all. That's what it is. If you have enough in front of you that you can have a conversation about not what happened, but what can happen, what's possible, where could you be going? All of a sudden,
for tax preparers too, we can just go into tax planning, and there you go. Then you have something to move forward. You don't have to do CAS to do tax planning.
Exactly. My point is that,
or if you want to call CAS write up, then technically we're doing CAS too at my firm, but we're not doing advisory. We're doing tax advisory.
Hold on to your seat. There's a new acronym that's been getting bandied about for the part of this year. It's TAS.
I don't even want to know.
It's exactly what you just said. It's for the tax-minded folks. It's tax advisory, meaning, all right, so you mean tax planning? Well, yeah, but that doesn't sound as cool as TAS. Or tax advisory. It's like, but yeah, exactly. So just get ready for that one to get knocked around for a little while. But it's really, you know, whatever you want to call it, man, it's just, if you're doing that level of work, if you want to be providing that higher level of value to your clients, then that's what you're doing. And charge appropriately, always charge appropriately, because shouldn't have a sticker fear. Meaning the fear of actually putting that sticker out there and saying, well, this is what this costs.
We have entire episodes talking about how to charge appropriately and all that.
Yeah, we don't have to get
important.
Into that.
No, don't apologize, because it is very important to talk about that and touch on it. I just want to make sure that the audience knows a lot of our varsity team episodes, we talk about that. We talk about pricing, repricing, sales, and all the varsity. So check that out on Fridays. Varsity. Yeah.
But if you see the value in what you do and like the tools that you're using, and you know, let's be honest, some of which you're paying for, well, guess what? That could be bundled in to your overall, whatever it is that you're charging. You know, all of that is still part of the value of you. You still have to interpret it. You still have to review it and then get ready to have the conversation on it.
Well, thank you for meeting us where we're at, Seth. Not a trained accountant, but a trained journalist that has been with us accountants for 30 years and still going strong. You got a whole
22 plus, but journalists.
I'm not rounding up to 30 with 22. You know, I'm going 20 plus years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 20 plus years.
20 plus years safely, Scotty. Yeah. I didn't start off on this path, you know, quite with accounting, but man, I can't imagine at this point my life without it, you know, and I want to continue to help it move forward.
You're in the watering hole. You're swimming in the pool with all of us. So,
and thank you for allowing me
in the watering hole. You should be drinking from it. Don't swim in there, Seth.
Thank you for allowing me to be here, not just on your show, but just accountants in general. Like, I feel very, very accepted as just a part of the fabric that you're creating.
That's
how, you know.
Well, we're glad to have you. Stick around. And tune in for more. Subscribe to Accounting High. If you're listening, check us out. Check out all of our other stuff. This is Tech Time. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us, Seth. Class dismissed.
Innovate Tech Tuesday. Digital Tech Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I remember server systems with tech allowances, fintech vendors with some cloud outfits, but now low coding this computer science for accountants. In fact, I'm remoting in new tools, paperless, asynchronous for data analysts, APIs to find all your SaaS apps connected, cloud computing plugins for your implementation, automate technology to leverage the meta, disrupt your desktop, then break it down. We sharing metrics, AI to the GPT to the AI disrupt. Bitcoin, Ethereum, and crypto agents disrupt. Time to tweak your tech team and make some changes disrupt. If my staff quit, I still have automation disrupt. Last episode just went viral. Let's go, it's gonna make your head spiral. Scarano, Casey, Sunshine, Accounting High Show. The lab is ready, it's tech time, yo. Glitch, it's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time at Accounting High. It's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time at Accounting High. It's tech time. Disrupt. It's tech time.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I'm trying to play the bell. And it's
you got
just,
the bell?
Yeah, it's just spinning. This is what happens here at Accounting High when we have technical difficulties on the tech time.
Sorry, my kids both go to the same school, and they're getting out in about 10 minutes. Their bell's going to ring.
Yeah, well, maybe their bell will ring us out.
We're going to have a problem here.